Judges chapter 2, and then also we'll be over in Genesis 22 here at the very beginning of our class. I'm going to kind of go back just a little bit since the young adults are in here with us. We've been teaching on some principles found in the book of Judges, some just specific principles that the Bible teaches us that are good for us to understand, to know. This last week, we started a message on the proving of Israel. I'm going to read you in chapter 2. The scripture here. In verse number 20, he says in chapter 2, he says, "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord or walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not." God says he left the nations that they refused to drive out. He left them there to prove them. The word prove speaks of testing, to test them. And he said there at the end of that verse, see whether they would walk in the ways of the Lord or not. He's testing, he's proving them. In verse number 1 of chapter 3, "Now there these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan." Down in verse 4, "And they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses." And what he's simply saying is that God proves Israel to see whether they will walk with God or not. Now, we know God knows everything. We understand that. We know he knows everything, but he lets it all play out. And he was just seeing what Israel would have done. We found out last week that they certainly didn't pass the test very well. But God certainly proves us to see what we would do. I believe he does that with every individual. I believe all of his children. I believe he proves us. He tests us to see if we'll walk in the ways of the Lord or not. So we went back through, and I'm not going to go review all of those, but if you'll kind of remember, one of the things was he talked about deacons in the book of Timothy. He talked about deacons, that they should be proved first before they're made deacons. It takes time. Their lives ought to be a life that has been proved that they're worthy of that position. We also talked about over in 1 Corinthians concerning the giving. God said that giving is a proof of the sincerity of our love. God allows us to be proved. And so I was just trying to encourage our people last week and talk about this, that this is a principle that's good for us to know, that as we live our life, God is proving us. He's testing us. He's allowing circumstances and things of life to come in before us to see what we will do. Will we walk with him? Will we keep his commandments? And he allows that in our life. That's a good thing. That's a right thing. If you think about it, how else would he come and judge the final judgment if he didn't have something to show what we were? You come to the judgment seat of Christ, we know, and our works are going to be tested by fire. And so what's he going to test it with? Well, what did we do? Well, you know what? And so he proves us and tests us through life. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. And it's good for us to realize that that's what God is doing. Sometimes there are some very hard, difficult situations that God proves us with and tests us with that is not easy. Now, I want to go over to the book of Genesis for a moment but as we start here, and I want to show you in verse 22, the book of Genesis. I want to read just about three verses here, chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham arose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. This is a difficult, hard situation. Try to put yourself in Abraham's situation here. God has just told him, you take your son, your only son, you go up to this mountain and you offer him as a sacrifice. That's tough. This was a command of God. The Bible says Abraham rose up early in the morning and got started. I'm going to skip over to verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and found Isaac, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Now listen to this. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. See, what he was doing was testing and proving Abraham. That was a tough test. But he said, don't lay your hand upon your son, because I now know you've passed the test. You would offer your son. I'm saying to you that throughout life, God puts tests in our life and allows us to be proved and tested. Now, thank God he's never asked me to do what he asked Abraham to do. And I believe that that's true in every person out here. If you are a child of God, you can be assured of one thing. Throughout life, you will be proved and tested. We all will. That's not bad. That's good. That's the way God tests us, and he molds us, he builds us, he strengthens us through these tests. Yours is different than mine. You have never walked in my shoes, and I have never walked in yours. Okay? They're different, and the tests are different. Everybody was not tested the way Abraham was tested. But everybody, I believe, is tested. Okay? So keep that in mind. I'm going to go back and just kind of give you a little bit of personal history. I talked about last week. I'm going to bring it down. We're going to talk about it a while. I'll show you how God tested and proved me. In 1970, God called me to preach. I knew this was the call of God. There was no doubt. I could go into detail, but I'm not. I need the time. But I knew that God was calling me to preach. There was no doubt whatsoever. But along with that call, in 1970, many, many tests and proving began to come into my life. Many. I won't be able to share all of them with you, but I want to give you a little bit of a rundown of it. Doors began to open for me to preach. Oh, just to go to other churches and preach, and my pastor recommended me to places, and I began to preach and never thought a whole lot about it. I thought this was fine, and I enjoyed it, and you know, and I was being built in the Lord and having these opportunities. But when it came to where I needed to pastor a church, conflict came into my life. Where I was working at Andacon Aluminum Company, I was on what we called a swing shift. And that swing shift meant that even whether I was on days or second or third or whatever it was, meant that I had to work weekends. I got one weekend a month off. And so that don't work when you're a preacher. You have to be there. I mean, churches don't understand you'd be gone 3 weeks out of the month. So I began to, and God was allowing this. I was a what was called a foil roller at Anaconda Aluminum Company. I had the top job as far as pay grade was concerned in the plant as far as outside of maintenance. Maintenance made more money than I did, but other than that, I made the top amount of money in the plant. I could no longer stay on that job because it was on a swing shift. So a job came up, a fork truck driver job came up, and I bid on it from pay grade 13 to pay grade 6. Remember, I still have 4 children and a wife and raising a family. I bid down to that. And that went on, so because it was a Monday through Friday job, the reason I did that. Time went on, that went on swing shift. So there was only one job in the plant that wasn't on swing shift. It came up. God allowed it to. It was pay grade 4. And all it was cleaning up after maintenance people. People like Dave Lithick and things like this. Dave was working there too, and he was an electrician. Anyway, so I just cleaned up pay grade 4. Now, God allowed that. He says, do you mean business or not? You really want to preach? You really going to preach the gospel or not? Remember, I still had a family I was trying to raise. Now, I'm just saying this. I'm not griping. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you, God tests. He proves us. And so anyway, in 1974, we went full-time at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We founded the church in 1973-74. We went full-time, and I quit Anaconda Aluminum Company. I was called everything when I walked out of that plant. People walked up to me and said, you're a fool giving up this job. You're giving up all your benefits. You're doing everything. But again, it was a choice that God made me make. Okay? But I did have one encouragement person walked up to me and said, Brother Ross, you're doing right. 15 years ago, God called me and I said no. He said, you're doing right. But what I'm saying is, see, he said no. God gives us choice. So I quit the job. We wasn't making a whole lot of money. I could not afford the house that we was living in, which is where Dave and Eileen Liffick live now, because they bought our house. I don't even know how many years ago that was, Eileen, but it's been a few. You might not know. 33. We could not afford it. I could not pay the payments and everything on it, so we sold the house, and the church put in what you now know as Mission House. It was a parsonage. And so we moved into the parsonage. I'm skipping a lot of areas and things because I don't have time. But in 1981, we left the church here, and we went out to the East Coast. In 1991, I was gone exactly 10 years. We came back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This was back in 1991. During this time that we were gone, Donna's mom had a stroke, a very, very serious stroke. We think that was in 1985. I think that was correct. We get things a little mixed up once in a while. We brought her after she was in a nursing home in Greencastle. That's where she lived in that area. She was in a nursing home for a while. We don't know, 3-4 months. We're not sure. But anyway, we brought her to our house. Let me think what happened next. Oh, she became, one time, she was in our house, and she became very ill. One of the reasons was the furnace, when the little trailer that we was living in out in Wilford, the furnace went out, it got very, very cold, and it was a really frigid time. She got sick. I picked her up in my arms, carried her out to our car, and we rushed her to Union Hospital. The doctor said that she would not live throughout the night. She did. God's grace, good. She lived. The doctor told Donna, "You cannot take care of her. It's just impossible because she needs specialized care." And which we thought he certainly knew what he was talking about, but she went to the nursing home and stayed for some time. Again, we're not sure how long it was, but she stayed for some time. And every time Donna would go over there, she would say to her, "Take me home. I want to go home." And so Donna, you know, done her best to pacify her, and then she started in on me. I would go over there, and she'd say, Bob, she said, "You're strong. Just pick me up and take me home." This went on for a time, and finally Donna came to me one day, and she said, "Bob, I've watched it over there." In fact, she would go, at the first, she went every day to the nursing home. And then she got where she'd go about 3 times a week, just check on her, make sure she's being cared for. And she said to me one day, she said, "You know what? I can do what they're doing." She said, "It's just mainly maintenance is all they're doing. That's all they're doing, maintenance." She said, "I can do that at home." So it was really neat. We went in, signed all the papers, and got it all ready, and we went into her room, and I said, "Ruth, you ready to go home?" Yeah. I literally picked her up out of the bed there at the nursing home. I said, "Let's go home." I picked her up, carried her out, carried her down the aisle, out of the hallway, out, and we had a van fixed. And David, I think maybe that was one of your van. We put a mattress in the bottom of it. I laid her on that mattress, and Donna had some, I don't remember if anything was on her or not as far as tubes or anything. I don't remember that. But anyway, Donna sat there and cared for her on the way home, and we got her home. Now, for 8 years, now the reason I'm telling you this, I'm telling you, Pete, God tries people. For 8 years, we figured it up the other day, it was almost 8 years that my wife cared for her mother. Most of that time, much of that time, she was bedfast. Now listen to me, I'm making a point, I'm not complaining, we're not griping, I'm making a point to tell you that God proves and tries his people. Okay? And she was bedfast much of that time. My wife turned her so she wouldn't get bed sores. Time and time again, she changed her diaper like a baby for many of those years. She bathed her and kept her clean. The nurses would come in and say, "Donna, you're doing a wonderful job. She's the cleanest as anybody I've ever seen." She kept her clean, took care of her. She fed her through a squeeze bottle. And in fact, what she did was, have you ever heard seen the Honey Bear bottles with a tip on them? Well, she cut that tip more off, and she could not eat solid food. All of her food had to be pureed. And she fed her through that for years. In 1991, we came back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 1991. This all continued. Of course, Donna's mother came with us and lived up here in the parsonage, of course, with her. She had the care of her mother, but all the other things was added back onto her, the work of the church. She was a mom. She was a grandma by that time. She was my wife. She was my secretary. She did the work for the school and the church, all the record keeping, all the billing, all of those things, on top of all of this other. She was a caregiver for her mom. Donna and I finally hired a lady by the name of Ann Phillips to come in and sit with her during church times whenever she could, and other times, once in a while, we'd get away for just a little while, but that was usually only a day if we did. And she sat with her and took care, and that was a godsend. Donna always said she thinks Ann Phillips maybe saved her life. Maybe. But anyway, she cared for her. Well, what I'm saying is the reason we did that is because so she could come down and still be a pastor's wife. She needed to be in church. She needed to be here. Her presence needed to be here. And also so she could come down here and do the work of the church. She had done a lot of secretarial work for her husband and for the church, and she needed to be down here from time to time to get that work done. So Ann Phillips was a real blessing. One day, Donna and I walked into her room up here. I could tell you the room. It's the far end, the room on the right, the far end of the house. Somebody probably this coming week cleaned that. I don't know who done it, because Rita, I know they had that cleaning time. But anyway, that's where she passed away. We walked in there one morning. I don't know why. We both walked in. I got on one side of the bed. She got on the other side of the bed. And all at once, Ruth just looked up and smiled. And she hadn't done this for a long time. I'm not talking about smiling. She lifted herself up and looked and just smiled. And she laid her head back down. Just a few moments, she did it again. She lifted herself up and smiled, laid back down, and took her last breath. I've always told Donna, God done that for you. No, I believe so. God just wanted her to know she was all right. Took her last breath and passed away. Now, what I'm saying is this. Our life and our proving and our testing, we don't believe is any more than anybody else's. Sometimes God does do that. He done it with Abraham. But all I know is I watched for 8 years my wife being proved and tested. And I mean proved and tested. In deep, deep ways. God does that. You say, well, Brother Ross, 8 years. Let me tell you how many days that is. That's 2,920 days that she got up and she took care of what she needed to take care of. Very few of those days was she not there. You understand what I'm talking about? Do you understand that God proves people and he proves you? And he tests you. He didn't do it the same as what he did with her or me, but he did. Let me tell you somebody else that's sitting in this room. Now, I could go around and I could look all over this room. There's a lady in this room by the name of Carol Allhauser that a few years back had two of her children, was born with a disease. Now, me and you don't know a whole lot about that. We don't know what she went through. Maybe I oughtn't to use them words, but maybe what she had to do. But I know this. Every day of her life, she got up and dealt with it. I know that. And then there came the day when her and Christina got up, headed to a hospital, And Carol Altheiser laid on a bed and allowed him to take a kidney out of her and put in her daughter. I haven't walked in that shoe, have you? Now, all the years that I pastored Carol Altheiser, I don't ever remember one time her ever complaining. I mean, to me, she did. Did she ever have a bad, or let's put it like Brother Bishop puts it in his book. You have good days and you have some not good days. I have a feeling that Sister Carol Altheiser probably had some not good days, not so good a days. I know my wife had some not so good a days. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't know a whole lot about that situation. I know about this situation. I think they both passed with flying colors. But what I'm saying is this didn't get over in a day or two. It was years. It was something God had allowed her to do. Don't have to be a reason of why it happened. It's because God placed it on her. We don't know all the other, but he proved her and he tested her. Is John Reiser here this morning? I can't see back here. John Reiser? Oh, no, there's John. John Reiser, this dear brother and I have served together for years and years and years. John Reiser, I think you still got a pacemaker in here, don't you? John Reiser and his wife Terry done the children's work, church work, for years and years and years. Plus, he drove the bus. He's had to drive the bus for 100 years, I think. Long time. Got up every morning, drove the bus. And I happen to know that John Reiser's had some real health issues. Got a pacemaker. And he's still driving a bus. Day in, day out, he's had to deal with things over the years. And he's still dealing with it. And the only reason I brought these two up is because the Lord told me to. You know what I could do? I could go through here and I could pick out people all over this place that has had to deal with some pretty tough things in life and is now dealing with some pretty tough things. What I'm saying to you is God tests and proves. And I don't always know all the reasons why. And I don't have to. We had a fellow, Chad Jordan, and I went to visit yesterday and had a good visit with a man out here in the country. He had lost a year ago, he had lost a 3-year-old grandchild. Boy, he was having trouble with that one. He was not saved, but he was having trouble dealing with it. He was wanting answers. Why did God take? Well, what I'm saying to you is you can't ask that question of God because he don't owe us no answer. We can't see what God sees. It's all faith. Comes down to faith. Christian accepts these things by faith. Right? I mean, we trust in God with all of our heart. You can't lean to your own understanding. Amen? You know, the reason he tells you to not lean to your own understanding is if you're leaning on a rotten stick, it's going to go out from underneath you. It won't hold. But to trust in the Lord with all of your heart will hold. Amen. It will hold. And God doesn't always tell us the whys and all that, but he is testing, he's proving his children. Okay? What other basis is he going to have when he comes to the judgment seat of Christ? What other basis is he going to have to judge on? You understand? And listen, folks, if you haven't been through what I've just talked about, that doesn't matter. You are going through certain things. You are being tested. You've never walked in my shoes, but I've never walked in yours. And many of the stories, I wouldn't even know about them. I don't know about them. But I'll assure you one thing, you are and have been and will be tested. You understand? And the main test that God gives is, will you stay faithful to me? Will you trust me? That's what he's looking for. You understand? That's what he's looking for. Just trust him. No matter what happens, just trust him. We don't have to know the whys of all of it. I don't know why my wife had to go all through that. Sometimes it really bothered me. Not I wasn't against God, because I seen what she was going through. It's difficult. It's hard on a day-to-day basis, close to 3,000 days. That's hard for her. But you know what? God allowed it. Amen? God allowed it. And God allowed it with these other people I'm talking about. We could, as I said, we could go all through here and talk about, you've had it. You've had things you've had to go through that's tough, that's difficult. I know you have. May not know the story, but I know you have. And you know what? We've just got to trust God Almighty. Trust him with it. Amen? He proves nations. Believe me, he proves churches, and he proves individuals. Now, how are we gonna pass the test? We're just gonna be faithful. You see, as you go through life, that's a good principle to know, that God is proving, God is testing. The purpose of all of it is to strengthen you and I, to build us, to help us, to be more better for him than we've ever been before. Donna said one day to me, she said, Bob, I feel like that there's been so much taken out of me. And I said, honey, but what you don't realize is there's been so much put in you. Because that experience, God put things into her that probably could never be put in any other way. Mm-hmm. So it's not, and you know what? A lot of times we need to have stuff taken out of us. We need to have it removed. And God knows that. And so he removes things, but he also puts things in us in the process. Will you just remember and keep in mind that your Heavenly Father loves you very, very much? Will you just remember, because in this church we have all kinds of, if I started naming them, I'd miss a bunch. But I'm going to tell you right now, I could go around this place and name all kinds of situations where people in this church has went through tough times, difficult times. And yet, you know what they're doing? They're just still serving God, just loving the Lord and walking with him, grieving sometimes, absolutely. Hurting sometimes, oh, absolutely. But you know what? They're still going, and I want you to know something. I'm so proud of you. I'm so thankful for you, grateful for you, that you, no matter what has come about, you're still here, you're still serving God, you're doing right, you're loving the Lord. I am proud of you, thankful for you. And your Sunday school teacher just wants you to realize this is a part of life. It's what life is. It's testing, it's trials. Don't give up on God. Just don't give up on him. Love him, walk with him, serve him, and just let him teach you and build you. And these old tough times come, remember, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, even if it's the rapture. Amen. And it may be. And that would be a great one to comfort ourselves with. Well, I hope that that's just helped you a little bit. I just wanted to do that this morning. Just wanted to talk to you about it and tell you there's proving times. I used to tell people, any time a decision is made up here at this altar, a real solid decision, it will be tested. You can get up here and say, God, I haven't been reading my Bible. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'll guarantee you it'll be tested. All kinds of things will come into play. Oh, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray so much. Well, I'll guarantee you it'll be tested. I'm going to keep myself pure. Young person say, I'm going to keep myself pure. I'm going to guarantee you it'll be tested. See, every step of true faith will always be tested. Always will be. So hope that's helped. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness, your kindness, your wonderful grace. Thank you especially for Jesus. And thank you for these dear folk in this church, Lord, who just stands faithful. No matter what happens, they just stand faithful. They just love the Lord. They just walk with God. They don't blame him for things. They just accept his will for their life. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.